You ever struggle with anxiety? Struggle with worry? I do. Anxiety is one of the things I worry too much. My kids know this. Donna knows this. I'm a worrywart. Those of you who work, worry about, you know, what we're doing with an event and, you know, results and all. I struggle with it. That's why I relate to this passage so much. Intellectually, I understand this. But it's here, see. And Paul says, be anxious for nothing. That's the problem.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy continues his series, Changing Your Mindset. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center as we continue this month-long series on decluttering our lives. We're focusing now on our minds and changing our mindset. Sometimes you'd like to have like a drive-through car wash for your head, you know, where you could stick your head in a car wash and the soap and the brushes would just clean that thing out, and then they dry it off and on you go. But it just isn't that simple. Life's not so simple. And what happens with our thinking is kind of like you go back to your childhood and you start patterns of thinking, interactions of thinking, perspectives on life. It's a hard thing to change. That's why they call it a mindset. It gets set. Changing your mindset as a Christian is not just having more positive thoughts like the little train that could. You know, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's part of it. But what are you thinking about? The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so it's a spiritual thing. And that's our challenge to you today. And to me as well, as I shared with you, I wrestle with this as well. That's why I relate to this three-day series. So let's go on over back to the studio, Intentional Living Teaching Studio, with staff and guests. And I'll continue day number two. And just before we do, I want to say thanks to those of you, by the way, who've been joining us as new members. Thank you. It's been so exciting during this Thanksgiving week. I'll tell you more about it in just a moment. Right now, let's go back to the teaching center. There's a third thing, in addition to new information and traumatic events, is a spiritual encounter. The research is clear that people have a change in their mindset when they've had a spiritual encounter. And I was thinking on the way to the office this morning of the example of Paul on that road to Damascus. As he had a mindset, didn't he? I have to eliminate these Christians. They are a plight to society. They are a problem. They need to be eliminated. He had a mindset of how he viewed Christianity, how he viewed Christians. And God laid him flat out on the ground. And in a period of a moment or two, he had a change of mind, didn't he? Oh, Father God, who Jesus, as Jesus talked to him, that spiritual encounter can change your mindset. And that's really the direction I want to talk, because the scripture is clear. And I'm going to give you what the Bible teaches about changing our mindsets as Christians. How do we do this? The Apostle Paul shares with us in scripture. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Of course, we're in Romans chapter 12, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but look what he says, be transformed by the renewing, got it? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Paul is writing to these Roman believers who are under persecution and struggling, he's saying to them, it's reasonable for you to give your whole body to the Lord. And then he adds, and be renewed in your mind. He puts a finer point on it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, where he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul is teaching us here that there is a cause and effect to life. You want to be transformed? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, there's a cause and effect. And this is how it works in life. Save money, that's a cause, right? And the effect will be financial freedom.
exercise every day, take care of your body, eat healthy food. That's a cause. The effect will be you're going to be healthier. Love your spouse every day intentionally. That's a cause. The effect will be you're going to have a better marriage. And Paul says in the scripture, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and you'll be transformed. There's a cause and effect to this process of changing your mindset. And so when we look at the cause, this renewal of the spirit, you ever wonder what that means? The spirit of your mind? And then the result or the effect of that is that you will be transformed. What does it mean to be transformed? Well, I think we understand being transformed means I'm not the same person. Paul talks about it as becoming a new man in Ephesians chapter 4, that you put off the old, you put on the new. There's a transformation. This is an inside thing. This is a spiritual thing. You still look the same. You know, maybe your face looks different as you're transformed because you got a different something going on different inside. But this transformation is a spiritual thing. And Paul is saying to us, if you want a transformation in your life, and I would say with a mindset, if you're not happy with the way your life is going, even as a believer in Christ, you're wrestling with, you know, you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with worry, you're struggling with not having a good relationship in your marriage, you're feeling down and discouraged. Every one of us in this room wants to be transformed every day, don't we? None of us are there. This transformational process is an ongoing daily process in our lives. And Paul says to us, if you want that transformation, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what is the spirit of your mind? What does that mean? Well, one thing I know it means is that we live in a mechanistic society today, a culture that's built around computers. And we even give the analogy that the mind is like a computer. You know what? The mind is more than a computer. Our mind is not just something that processes information. Our mind is more than just the place where we get educated. We live in a culture today that says, you want transformation in your culture? Educate everybody. See, it says, get more education and the world will be better. You want to transform your culture? Educate people. Now, there's no question education is a good thing. And there's no question educating people does and will make our society a better place. But Paul is saying, you want to be transformed? Be transformed in the renewing of the spiritual part of your mind. Here's the truth. Our minds are a spiritual place. Our minds are not just this brain that we have that processes information. That's part of it. But one of the things that separates us from the animal kingdom is the fact that we have a soul. See? God has placed within us this mind that's a spiritual receptor. And so he says to us, therefore, if you want to change your mindset, it's going to require some spiritual action beyond just self-discipline. You can't talk yourself into a better mindset. I honestly believe for the Christian, if you want a better mindset, it's going to take spiritual action.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching. Today's teaching is just part of a larger study provided to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Find out about the entire study and how you can get a copy for yourself. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4.
If I told you you had the mind of a sheep, would you take that as a compliment?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, our intentional counselor and coach.
You know, anyone that raises sheep will tell you they're not all that smart, but they can recognize faces and remember them for years. They can even learn their own names. Now, that's reassuring since the Bible often refers to Christians as sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Jesus, our good shepherd, knows us so well and loves us so deeply that he laid down his life for us. The Lord your shepherd gives you green pasture, still waters, and the hope of new life in him. Do you need any of those things today? One thing you can do today is to listen closely for the shepherd's voice, and you can do that through prayer. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire series. Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out more. Also, Dr. Randy has written intentionals associated with today's program, and we'd like you to have it free. Just go to the Inspiration tab at theintentionallife.com and click on Intentionals. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
Let's listen to Paul as he talks to the Philippians. Now, get a picture as I turn to Philippians that Paul's writing this from jail. He's in prison, and he's certainly not in a happy prison. He's not in a happy place where he's got television and air conditioning and three meals a day. And the Philippians were not in a happy place. This was a Roman-held city. In fact, if you study, Philippi was kind of like a miniature Rome. And these Christians in Philippi were struggling, like all the Christians were at that time. And he writes to them in the book of Philippians. And by the way, this passage is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And he begins it by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, we kind of get it. You know, we understand rejoicing. Be happy in the Lord. Be positive in the Lord. Be blessed by the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. But get a picture of what these Philippians were facing, and they're thinking about Paul in prison. I mean, he's in a miserable state, and he says to these Philippian believers, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then what does he do? He repeats it. "And again, I say, rejoice." And you know why he repeated it? I went and looked. I did some study. You know, what are the commentators saying? The reason he repeated it was because it sounded absolutely ridiculous to the Philippian church. How can you tell us to rejoice? You're sitting in prison, we're in persecution, and you want us to rejoice. So I'll say it again. Rejoice. Doesn't that make sense? Now, we're getting into where the moment in time that he's writing this to these Philippian believers. And he's saying to them, "Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness," which is your attitude, "be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now listen, this is such a profound, talking about our thinking now. He says, "Be anxious for nothing." And I put in parentheses in my notes, that was the problem. He just identified the problem. "Guys, I know you're anxious. Do you ever struggle with anxiety? Struggle with worry? I do. Anxiety is one of the things I worry too much. My kids know this. Donna knows this. I'm a worrywart. Those of you who work, worry about, you know, what we're doing with an event and, you know, results and all. I struggle with it. That's why I relate to this passage so much. Intellectually, I understand this. But it's here, see? And Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." That's the problem. And then he says, "But in everything," here's the solution. Listen, here's the solution as we think about this mindset problem. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? Prayer is prayer, and supplication is supplication. It's all prayer. It's like two levels. He's saying pray, but then really supplication is on your knees, you know, really before God, asking God. And then he says, do that with thanksgiving. So the solution, Paul says, to the mindset of worry and anxiety of the Philippian church, he says, rejoice, right? And then he says, prayer. And then he gives the promise, which is, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." And that's the promise. But then he goes on. It's interesting. Then he goes on and he says in the last part of Philippians, this passage in Philippians 4, 4 through 9. And then he says, and finally, brethren, whatever things are true, truth is what? Reality. Whatever things are noble, that's honest. Whatever things are honest. Whatever things are pure, in other words, purity or not mixed with impurities, not things that are going to pollute your soul. Whatever things are lovely, or in other words, inspiring love, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on such things. And I've always wondered, why did he say, and if there's anything worthy and praiseworthy, think on these things? And what that means is that all of these things about being noble and honest and pure, these were the moral code of even the pagans. Even the world believes these to be good things. But Paul is saying, if you find in all of these pagan kinds of ways of living, which is, you know, truth and lovely and good report, if there's any virtue in these moral codes, think on these things. And then he finishes this passage by saying, and the things which you heard and learned and received from me and saw in me, these do. In other words, Paul is saying, do the things that the world say are good things to do, if they're filled with praiseworthy and virtuous things, and then do what I did. Be like me. Do what I do. And then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. We're talking about our mindsets here. So let's summarize what Paul is saying to us as we think about how in the world do we change our mindset. The first thing that he says to us in a very practical way for Christians, if you have a mindset that you don't like toward people, toward yourself, toward life, he says, rejoice in the Lord at all times.
Yes, he does. And we're going to continue to pick up from that point as we go into our third and final day tomorrow on this series, Changing Your Mindset, which, by the way, is in our new member kit, the entire series, as a way of getting you started with the journey here of being intentional and in joining us. And also, we put in this box, it's an actual kit that we're going to send to you for new members, is going to be the book Starve for Affection, Why We Crave It, How to Get It, and Why It's So Important in Marriage. I'm autographing that. Also, The Power of One Thing, and I'm autographing that as well. Both books and the One Thing wristband. It's exact one that I wear. We had extras made, and I wear it every day. I would encourage you, at least for 30 days, to say, okay, one thing, 30 days, maybe now through the end of the year, one thing for this period of time. What one thing could I do that would honor Christ and make the biggest difference in my life, my family? Just a thought. I think it'll be a help to you. Come and join us. This is Thanksgiving week. Your giving between now and the end of the year is make it or break it for us as a ministry. So share the best, most generous gift you can, and then join us monthly, at least $25 or $40 a month. I challenge you to do that. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click donate or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4 during West Coast business hours. Talk to our staff, okay? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for standing in a very practical, tangible way as a member of Intentional Living.
I am going to be intentional about learning how to use a computer. I have a fear of computers. I've taken numerous classes, panicked, and rushed out of the room. I haven't listened before, and I am going to make it a point to conquer this fear. Thank you.
I just wanted to share what I want to be intentional about our work. My husband's been out of work for 3 years, and he's been putting applications in everywhere. I know that God has a plan for us, but sometimes I worry too much because of financial difficulties. I want to be intentional and not worrying about things. I was just going to let you know I love your guys' show, and to let anybody else that's out there struggling without their husband working, that God will take care of you.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
What's one thing that if you had in your mindset that bugs you, what's something in your mindset that you say, boy, that's something I just need to keep working on with God's help? What is it? For me, I would say it'd be worry. What is it for you?
My faith. I have to continually ask to help with my lack of faith at times. Yeah. I struggle with that.
Yeah, situations, and can I really trust God and have faith? That's really part of what I wrestle with, too, because that's really worry, isn't it? It's kind of like I'm got to control it.
I guess the only way I could describe my main worry is trust.
Trusting God.
I know my mindset comes from my childhood, but when I say trust, it's because I have lost a child. Mm-hmm. And I put my trust in the Lord for 3.5 years. I know you're going to heal my child, Lord, and I know you're going to heal my child. The healing came, just not the way I wanted it. There's other things in my life where it was my mindset. I just knew how the Lord was going to do it, you know? I just trusted. That was my example of trust. I know you can do this, Lord. Mm. And that wasn't his answer. So I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, but I do struggle with trust. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I think, you know, you get a mindset that, like I said, sometimes gets changed as a result of tragedy, but you don't know where your mindset changes to. Does it change to more trust, or does it change to, whoa, you know, I'm not sure I can trust it? That's a hard thing to go from point A to point B. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Well, mine's like yours, it's worry. And Sally always said, I think this is the right percentage. You know, 98% of what you worry about never happens, which, by the way, doesn't help me out very much, Sally. But
yeah, but it makes Sally feel good.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. My dad always used to say, on worry, because some of you knew my dad, maybe a couple of you, but he was Mr. Positive. I mean, he was just always positive. He would always say and worry, he'd say, oh, well, you always have to stop and ask, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, the worst thing that could happen is you die. And we know where that ends up, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think the mindset for me that I've had to deal with is fear, because where the Bible says that fear has to do with punishment, but perfect love casts out fear, and I think having been raised in a more religious, legalistic home, that if you do enough good and not too much bad, that's how you qualify for heaven. And I think as a Christian, I've had to grow to learn that that's not how God parents us, that mm-hmm. he parents us. You know, obviously there's wrong to be dealt with, but he dealt with that. And so that it's more about walking in the Spirit and about what he wants us to do and to encourage that in us. And the more that I've been able to overcome fear in my own life, I think it's not only helped me in my faith, but it's helped me as a parent to raise my kids differently. And it's really cool to watch my kids. I mean, I'm not saying they do it perfectly, but it's great to see my kids grow in spiritual maturity in their teens in ways that I had no concept of when I was 13 and 15. So definitely, I think fear and the opposite of that being grace.
When you were talking about the example of losing a child, and you know, and I was thinking as you were talking about David's experience, and so I went to 2 Samuel just as a fresh reminder of when Nathan approached David and talked to David about, hey, you know, God is about ready to rain down some serious judgment on you because of your decisions with Bathsheba. And if you recall, he lost his son. Well, in the process, he was mourning, he was fasting, he was weeping, he was crying and praying, and all of those things before the child died. And then as he realized and found out that, okay, the son did pass away, so he gets up, he washes himself, changes his clothes, and he goes on about his day, and basically the rest of the people around him are like, what happened here? Why are you not weeping now? And he And he chose in himself, he said, you know, well, because I pleaded to God and God chose this is the path that he wanted this to be. And so for him, as I'm reading it and looking at 2 Samuel, for David, he chose to make the, you know, mental mindset that this is what God has chosen. I'm going to intellectually understand that, and I'm going to embrace that, whether it's obviously something he didn't want, but he moved on to kind of that next chapter in his life from a mindset perspective, being able to transition, which I know must be incredibly difficult. But it was just, again, an example of seeing somebody in Scripture that went through incredible loss that was able to give it over to God and have that change in mindset.
It's part of the grieving process.
Hi, I'm just calling. I was listening to the station. I just want to say ever since I gave my life to God, I got saved about a month already. And I see a big difference in my life already. I mean, just the way that, you know, I think now. Before it was like I didn't care, and now I do. It's just something really great, and I just wanted to call and comment on that. Thank you. Bye.
Well, I appreciate it, and you're welcome. Your story is at 888-888-1717. You know, this series, we're going to wrap it up tomorrow, by the way, day before Thanksgiving. Is a big deal. If we can get this one straight, this is a big kind of foundational topic as we look at the foundations for living intentionally. Getting our minds straight in terms of God's intention is huge. And we're going to send this to you. By the way, if you're a member, you receive it automatically. It's coming your way. If you're not and you want to become a new member, first time of Intentional Living, with your ongoing support, we'll send this to you. Plus, in the kit that we're sending, a new member kit, will be the book Star for Affection that I wrote for Tyndale House and Focus on the Family, and The Power of One Thing, How to Intentionally Change Your Life. Both autographed, along with my One Thing wristband to say thank you and to encourage you on your journey. So all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's our web address, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button. It's all lined out there for you. A lot of helpful resources, by the way, online. Or call during West Coast business hours. Our staff today are here, not tomorrow, of course, it's a holiday, but call 888-888-1717, press number 4. Tomorrow we're going to wrap up this series on changing your mindset, which has been part of our declutter series this month. So I hope you come and join us from Intentional Living. See you next time, right here from the Intentional Living Center.